lesson appointed from the book of Acts for this fourth Sunday of Easter, the Good Shepherd Sunday from Acts chapter 20. Paul says to the Ephesian elders, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." This is the word of our God. What makes a good pastor? There's a lot of answers out there, a lot of different opinions on what makes a good pastor. So where do you go to find the answer? Well, you go to the internet, of course, right? Yeah. So a study has been done on what is it that makes a good pastor, and I just happen to be able to share that with you today. So according to the internet, according to this computerized list, this is what makes a good pastor. The perfect pastor preaches exactly 15 minutes. He condemns sin, but he never upset anyone. He works from 8 a.m. until midnight. He's also the church janitor. He makes $50 a week, he wears good clothes, he drives a good car, and he gives about $50 a week to the poor, too. He's 28 years old, but he's got 30 years of preaching experience. He has a burning desire to work with the teenagers, and he spends all of his time with the senior citizens. The perfect pastor smiles all the time with a straight face because he's got a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. He makes 15 calls a day to the congregation's families, shut-ins, and the hospitalized, and he's always in his office when needed. The perfect pastor is always in the next church over. Of course, this is just a joke. What makes a good pastor? But it's a question, honestly, that it's good to ask. And it's good for every pastor to ask themselves, too. What makes a good pastor? How do I know if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, I have a record of every sermon that I've written in my 13 years of ministry and preached. They're all on my computer in my office, every single one of them. I haven't counted them up, but there's hundreds and hundreds of them. And when I come to a Sunday and you come to what we know as our lectionary, the series of readings for the year, usually I'll go back and check, when's the last time I preached on this lesson? Just to see, you know, and what did I preach then? And, you know, just to look back. I didn't have to look back for this sermon. I knew that I had never preached on this text before. And I know why. Because if you listen carefully to what I just read to you from Acts 20, it's a message about pastors to pastors. And it feels a little awkward to preach it to you. This is not a room full of pastors. I'm almost preaching about myself. So I know in my 13 years of ministry, when this has come up in the lectionary, I've avoided this one and not preached on this one. Actually, there was maybe a chance a couple weeks ago that I was going to be gone this Sunday presenting a workshop up in Minnesota. It didn't pan out. But I thought, oh, I don't have to preach on that lesson then. But here I am. And I had said that I was going to preach through the book of Acts here in the season of Easter to see the life of the risen Christ in that early church. And so I couldn't skip this one this week. You would have noticed that. I didn't preach on the book of Acts. But there's also some things just recently that kind of compelled me that, yes, this is the sermon to preach. This is the message to share with this flock today. And some of those things, a few of those things that just have happened in the last few weeks, and many of you know that I had a divine call extended to me to serve a church in Minnesota. I'm sorry, in South Carolina. Last one was Minnesota. South Carolina. And in those deliberations, in prayer, in discussions, and talks with you, we get to remember what it means to be a pastor and what the work of a pastor is all about and how the pastor's serving. A couple of weeks ago, Laura and I, we were gone that first Sunday after Easter, we were in San Antonio, and we were there because we presented at a retreat for pastors. It was a retreat that our seminary puts on every year for pastors who are celebrating their anniversaries in the ministry of 3 years, 10 years, 25 years, and 35 years. So about 100 and some pastors come together with their wives in San Antonio, and we were blessed to be there to present to the 10-year anniversary pastors and their wives. And that was a wonderful reminder, too, of what it means to be a pastor and why we serve and the high calling that God has entrusted to us. This afternoon, Pilgrim Lutheran Church, our sister congregation up in Mesa, is going to be installing a new pastor. And you are all welcome to come to that, 4 p.m. up at Pilgrim. And so I've been thinking about that too, about that installation of a new pastor and what that means for a congregation. So you just see these things that have been on my mind, and this text comes up, and here it is for you. And really what we see here is this is not about me. This is not necessarily just about pastors. But it's about our God and how he cares for his people and his flock and what he wants those he has entrusted with this ministry to be doing. Paul is speaking here to the spiritual leaders of the church in the city of Ephesus. And the context here is Paul is on his way somewhere else. And so he doesn't go to Ephesus here. Now, Paul has spent a lot of time in Ephesus. He spent 3 years there. As far as we know, longer than any other place that he'd ever spent. 3 years. And so he knew these people. He loved them. He had been on the alongside of these spiritual leaders for a long time. But he, even though he didn't have time to go to Ephesus, because it was a little out of his way, and he knew that if I go there, I'm going to spend time there and it's going to divert me, he had the leaders come and meet him at this location. And Paul believes this might be the last time that he ever sees them. And so he gives them these instructions. And this is just a portion of it, these five verses in front of us. There's a longer discourse, and I encourage you to go and read all of Acts 20 and see what Paul all said to these elders. But it's this message to these church leaders, who at that time were called elders. Now, throughout the history of the church, and even within different church circles, titles are used differently. We have the term elder in our church. It's a spiritual overseer, but not necessarily a pastor. But that's really what these men were. The word we use is pastor in our circles today. And the reason we use the word pastor, based on this section and others, is because that word pastor, from Latin, means shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd. A pastor, an elder, a spiritual leader is one who is there to care for the sheep of God. And this section makes it very clear what makes a good pastor. What is it that God wants his pastors, his shepherds, his under-shepherds to be doing? He makes it very clear here. He says in verse 28, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." It says, watch over yourself and watch over the flock. That word watch over, the true meaning of that doesn't really come out in the English. In the original language, in the Greek, it literally means to care for. So the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul to pastors, care for yourself spiritually. Make sure that you are knowing the word and believing the word and growing in the word so that you can share it so that you can teach it, so you can preach it. And as you care for yourself, also care for the flock that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of. What makes a good pastor? What is a pastor supposed to be doing? First and foremost, more than anything else, caring for his own soul, and then caring for the souls of those that have been placed into his care through preaching, through teaching, through counseling, through encouraging, through admonishing, through the administration of the sacraments, baptism and communion, because there is where you are spiritually cared for. There, in that word of God, the words of your good shepherd, the role of a pastor is to care for the souls that have been entrusted to him. Entrusted. Because this is not my flock. You are not my sheep. You are God's sheep. You are his flock. The Holy Spirit has simply, by that divine call that you extended to me 5 years ago, helped me to be an overseer for you, a shepherd for you, that can lead you to those streams of living water, that can refresh your soul, that walks with you through that valley of the shadow of death, to continually lead you to that cross and to that empty tomb. That is the job of a pastor. That is the privilege of a pastor. That is what God wants his shepherds to be doing. What else does God want his shepherds to be doing? He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. God entrusts to his under-shepherds the responsibility, the duty, to warn, to guard against savage wolves. And that picture, of course, of the savage wolves that seek to attack the flock, there's all sorts of enemies that come, isn't there? All sorts of savage wolves. There's false teachings. False teachings that, as Paul says, are going to come from outside the church, but also from within the church. Mark them. Warn about them. It is not in the counsel and will and word of God. It is false. It is from the devil. It is to be called out. Warn. So that the devil, those savage wolves of false teachings, cannot lead the flock astray. To hold out the word of truth and proclaim the truth in its purity. In love, to proclaim both law and gospel. To not hide any of the word of God, to not distort it, to not change it, and when it is, to call it out. Comes in the form of false teachings and false teachers. But those savage wolves can also come from even within, can't they? Because your own sinful flesh wants you to ignore God's word, pretend it doesn't apply to you, that it's just for other people, that what you're doing isn't really that big of a deal. And so too, God calls his pastors to warn of those savage wolves too, of that sinful flesh, to call those who have strayed to repentance, in love to lead them back to the truth, to see their sin, but then to see their Savior. God's under-shepherds are called to warn about those savage wolves. And that also might include apathy among us. Apathy to the means of grace. Apathy to the word, to the sacrament. that the responsibility and the duty of a pastor is to remind the flock that's in his care where alone their spiritual strength and peace can come from. And that's why pastors and why elders, like such in our congregation, have to do work. Or maybe it is calling on someone who is despising the means of grace, who is not worshiping, who is not receiving the sacrament. Because those souls have been placed in their care by God Himself. Warn against those savage wolves who come from outside, who come from inside. God tells His spiritual leaders here, His elders, His pastors. He also says, now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God entrusts His under-shepherds, His pastors, His spiritual leaders to God and to the word of His grace. Because I don't have to tell you, we're sinful just like you are. We need repentance just as much as you do. We fail in our callings as husbands, as fathers, as friends, and as pastors. We don't always do the right thing or say the right thing. There is always that tendency for laziness or pride or whatever it might be. The devil's working overtime on these under-shepherds too. So God commits His pastors, His under-shepherds, to the word of His grace. To that undeserved love that we need just as much as you do. That love that He has first shown us that we get to proclaim to you. We're taught in our seminary that when you prepare a sermon, that before you preach it to your flock that God has entrusted to you, make sure you preach it to yourself. Make sure that you see how this word also convicts you, dear pastor. And this word comforts and consoles you in your failings and your faults and gives you that full and free forgiveness. Because when we know that, we can boldly and confidently proclaim that to you. You see, what makes a good shepherd? God would say it's one who is constantly, continually pointing his flock to the good shepherd, to Jesus Christ. That every sermon, every Bible study, every counseling session, every word of encouragement is focused on the good shepherd, on him. Pointing you to him in his perfect love for you, in his undying faithfulness to you, to his perfect life and innocent death and resurrection for you. To continually point you to him, because he bought you with his own blood, Paul says. You belong to him. He laid down his life for you so that you might be his flock, his sheep. And as pastors, we just get to point you to him. To the one who has made you his. To the one who has bought you with his blood, washed you clean in your baptism, made you his dear child, made you an heir of eternal life. God gives to his church these shepherds, these pastors, so that we might point you to your good shepherd. You know, you have a lot of people, I'm guessing, that help guide you in this life. Your doctor, trust your doctor. They help guide you in your decisions about your health. Maybe you've got a financial advisor who helps guide you on preparing for retirement, or you know, how you're going to disperse your funds after the Lord takes you home. Different sorts of advisors, different sorts of people who guide you in the things of this life. And that's good and that's fine. But God has also given to you pastors, shepherds, who are there, yes, to help guide you in this life, most certainly. But who most importantly are there to help guide you to that eternal life. To that eternal life that you have through your risen good shepherd. That as we have sung already a couple of times in Psalm 23, that we know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because of that good shepherd who leads us and cares for us and lay down his life for us and forgives us and comforts us and consoles us. Dear Christians, you have a shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. May you find your peace and your joy in him alone. Amen. And now may God himself